Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke.
Are we on? Black Cat, this is Brooklyn. You have left the Earth's atmosphere, and you are going at a comfortable pace of 17,547 miles per hour. Be safe. Enjoy the ride.
Berkshire native McQueen Adams is a producer and musician, sometimes referred to as a multimedia comedian, a funny DJ, an electro-comic, or a comedy music mix master. He stacks original beats and melodies and situationally surreal lyrics with pop culture references galore.
If I could stop, I would stop. This dream's become my reality. Stuck in a world of duality.
His first album, Black Cat, was released on October 25th, and he came to the studio to talk with us about it. McQueen, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thank you so very much for having me.
So we both have the challenge now of explaining to the listener what you do, what you're... I'll help you,
yes,
and you'll
do.
Help me.
Yes, we'll work on this together.
How about you begin? I'm sure you've been asked to, you know, self-describe your career trajectory and what you create. So you begin, and I'll jump in as I think I can.
We've been looking, my agent, my publicist, for a definition of what this show is. We've heard digital puppet show, which kind of made me feel like I was Pee Wee Herman, who I love. But I guess it's more of an electro-comedy digital show where I project... images and scenarios and videos on a screen, which I control all the mouth movements, and I score these
Mouth movements of the figures in the videos.
Yeah, and I score everything live, so that it's almost creating scenes from movies and parodies of songs and all sorts of scenarios that don't exist but do in my head.
Where do the if there's an original clip before you manipulate it? What are the sources of those videos, or are you making them all from scratch?
We make them all.
Okay.
So I'll repeat this. You know, listeners, you'll love this. I worked on a Comedy Central Snapchat show, and they gave us the password for the Getty images. And she said, have fun. So we would just start pulling pictures. And I just take all the heads, I cut them, and then we cut the mouse, and then I just put them into weird scenarios. I'll take pictures of places like that are local or anywhere I travel. And then I just put the heads in those places. So it's super like, you know, people are like, oh my God, that's my mom's house. Why is Owen Wilson at your mom's house?
And how do I'm sure it varies depending on what you're making in whatever moment or for whatever performance, but where do the scenarios come from? Where do the sort of stories or song ideas manifest in your mind?
It's almost like when you're a kid and you have that time in your room when you're by yourself. And everything has a voice.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that never left. So I'll be driving and something will come on. Usually a lot of hold music for either companies and you're like, oh my God, there's a song here. And you just make a song or you hear a beat that's a breakdown of another song. Or it's just I see a movie I haven't seen in years. And I'm like, oh, what if they had done this? So I make that. That's where it comes from. I'm like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to write this song. This is my favorite artist. I think if I took this song and made it about a man who loves a whale, we could have a hit here.
It sounds like it takes a lot of time. Does it take a lot of time? Are you spending a lot of time in front of a computer getting ready to do the thing, or does it mostly happen live?
There's improv, because something always happens that you're like, I can't believe this is happening. But I've learned over the last couple of years, just go with it, because the audience feels like they're onto something new with you. But yeah, there's a lot. I mean, the album took a year. When I first got a record deal, I was like, oh, this is going to take me 3 months, because I thought I would just do skits. But then it became this huge musical number and like this scenario and this whole thing and then meeting producers, and it took a year. And the live show was a 5-month process outside of that, trying to get it ready, because I was like, I don't know how I'm going to do this live.
Right. The album is called Black Cat. It's on a Special Thing Records. And there is a kind of overarching concept of which is fever dreams.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So tell me where that came from.
I am a hypochondriac, and as a child, I was super anxious. So I had shingles, which I didn't know what it was. I just remember waking up with these weird frosted flakes lodged on my body.
Yeah.
And went in, and they gave me medicine, but it was like kind of past the point. And so I was having these fever dreams for like 2 weeks straight. It was a constant fever dream. I'd go to sleep. It'd be like, you know, and in every single dream, I would look down and I'd have black paws, and I was a black cat.
Okay.
So I was traveling kind of through this world of, like, things that had happened up to that point in my life. You know, the middle school dance, the awkward feeling, you know, the relationship with your parents, and all the weirdness, you know, giving voices to things that were in your room that didn't have voices, whether it was toy soldiers or, you know, your first crush, you know, Paula Abdul, I love you. but all that kind of stuff. And so the album is me kind of traveling through this world as a black cat with this kind of guide who's almost David Bowie-esque. So, yeah, it's really different. And, you know, you'll love it, I promise.
Tell me more about putting it together. You thought it would be quick, but it took a long time. You said, I mean, you hit on a sort of overview of why it would take so long. So you have to figure out how to do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Meet everybody and you know, just make it happen for the first time. But tell me more about the process, if you can.
So to start off, I had to go to Los Angeles for a show at Zebulon, which is like the new hotspot in Los Angeles. And it was Nick Kroll, Reggie Watts. And I kind of just watched everybody.
Love them both so much.
It was, they're such, they're great
Reggie's
people.
From another planet.
Absolutely.
Talent-wise.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, how does he?
One of the sweetest individuals in the world.
Cool.
Super.
That's nice to hear.
Yeah.
Because I mean, it seems like he would be, but then, you know, he always
No, well, he was
confirmation.
Saying to me, like, what a fan of the stuff I was doing, which was super, like, you know, it was rewarding for me because I'm like, oh, I'm such a fan of yours. And he was like, what you're doing is the next evolution of this. I was like, that's right. No. So it was
great.
Yeah, it was great.
That's incredible.
Yeah. And there was two guys that were at the show, and then there was the record label. And after the show, the label's like, I want what you're doing, I want to put on an album. And I was like, that's great. And then I left and I was like, I have no idea how to do that.
Right.
But
it's so visual, the live show.
Absolutely. Super visual. It's just what it is. I mean, there's so much imagery and it's all plays hand in hand, but these guys happen to be producers, and one of the guys did all the mixing for the show Empire on Fox, and they loved it. And he was like, let's meet like tomorrow and have coffee. So I met with them, and he was like, I think that you should do a music album. And I was like, yeah, I don't know if that's going to happen. And we just met, and we were like, he was like, let's do one song. So we did one song, and I was like, wow, this is great. We did another song, and I was out there for like 3 months and had really kind of like the template for what this was. And then over the course of a year, we just kind of like, you know, worked and mastered it. But it's a weird process because people always say, like, when you watch these documentaries of people in bands, they're like, I hated the album by the time it was done because you've heard the songs 15 million times.
Right.
You don't know what to expect. You're completely just like, people are going to hate this. But I loved it.
That seems like a better, like, it would feel better to work on it
better,
and like
yeah.
it.
And it was that process. It was very cathartic. It was like really like just felt like, oh, wow. It's like that inner child that you feel like sometimes disappears with adults. Life comes, you know, and you're like, oh, I'm never going to be a kid again.
Right.
The album was having the ability for at least that year to be a child again. And it was a lot of fun.
We're speaking with McQueen about his debut album, Black Cat, now available from A Special Thing Records. You grew up in the Berkshires. When did you figure out, if you would claim you figured out, what you would do with your adult life? Like, when did the creativity enter, and how did you start doing what you do?
I grew up, my grandfather and grandparents met. My grandmother was sang in a band, and my grandfather played piano, jazz, you know, and which is completely, like, voicing the confusion in people's heads.
That's mm-hmm.
like, so I was always around it, so I couldn't play an instrument. So it was my ear. So I was just impersonating everybody. So even as a child, like, my mother would go to the class to meet the teacher's conference, and she would be like, this is your pencil on a sweatshirt string. You interviewed everybody in your class. So I've always kind of had that, like, I didn't know I was going to be able to do it for a living.
Right.
But I was like, I'm different.
You're always improvising, always playing.
Constant.
Impersonating, and always musical.
Always. So I... you know, as I got older, I started doing open microphones and trying to figure out what the pacing was. I knew I liked comedy, but I didn't want to be a stand-up comic.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate it and respect it. It just wasn't my thing. It wasn't going to be my road. But musically, I didn't want to be in a band. I mean, I'm 6'5". I mean, there's not many giant band leaders.
There aren't very many. That's true.
No, right?
But that can't be the only reason.
No, exactly. That's between us.
Yeah, you're like, I'm too tall to be in a band.
I will not be in your band, Queen or Journey, because I'm too tall to lead sing for you. But it just kind of took me in a road. And I think when people say you find your voice, I think this is how I found my voice, was trying to merge and marry like all the great ideas or ideas that I had as a kid and figure out where this path leads. So I just kept building on it and building on it and taking lumps in the process, obviously. I went to Scotland the first time I ever was going to do this show for the Fringe Festival.
Yeah.
That was not fun.
No, it went badly.
Well, it did for the first 2 weeks because I didn't know how to do any of this stuff. It was all a learning process. And I was under the impression that you're going to come here and learn, but that's not what that is. But the next 2 weeks, it was mobbed every day because one of the reviewers is like, don't like this guy, but young people love him. And so it was like...
And young people were like, I'm young people.
Yes, exactly.
Let me check it out.
I'm
going to
go.
Yeah.
This guy's amazing. But that was a good experience. And I've just been kind of building ever since. I feel like you're always still looking to find that space. I feel like I found it. Now it's about being completely comfortable in it, which I don't know if I ever will be.
Right. Well, and having... You need an audience.
Absolutely.
To do the thing you do. So being able to spread the word or have the word spread from what you've created.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's like I was at JetBlue and I had to cancel a flight to Portland. And the woman there was like, hey, you're that pizza guy from Snapchat. I was like, what are you talking? Oh, yeah, that's me. It's like, that's how I'm going to be known now, is late night pizza man. But yeah, I just...
Well, just don't, you know, if you get pulled over driving, don't go, don't you know who I am?
Oh my
I'm the
God.
Pizza guy from Snapchat.
Yeah, exactly. I know you.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, that's been kind of just the, you know, the process. I mean, Berkshire County, where I'm from, is kind of, you know, it's culturally, it's pretty powerful.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, there's so much going on
there's
that
a lot
people
of people
don't
living,
realize
it. Living lives in the arts there.
Absolutely huge. And, I spend a lot of time in Hudson, New York. It's the same kind of thing.
Yep.
Find a ton of influence going there. Like, there's just so many like-minded people. And yeah, it's just I'm supposed to have to do a second album. So I'm just kind of trying to figure out what that's going to be and go through that process right now.
Do you have a required timeline for the second album, or do you have time to figure it out for yourself?
I think because Black Cat has been doing, knock on wood, so well, they want me to do it a lot quicker than I thought. I just got an email last week that was like, so when do you think you're going to start? And I was like, oh boy.
How long ago did you finish Black Cat? I know, because it came out in
October 25th. I think that we had finished in August.
Okay.
Yeah, beginning of August, and it was a lot quicker getting out because apparently vinyl takes forever to press, which I had no idea. Did you know this?
I know it-ish. Because there's not that many places that
right.
can do it. So you're like in a queue of however many artists are
yeah.
putting out their album on vinyl.
So they got rid of Radiohead. They said, you guys, we're going to push your album and do this one. And yeah, so it came out. And so, I mean, my assumption is I'll have to go back out to California. But I think the process now is we know what we want to do. So it'll be a lot quicker than kind of figuring it out. Because that was like playing Jenga and it was with missing pieces. And you're just like, I don't think we're going to be able to do this.
Who do you work with on the album?
I had a local guy rap on it named Jackson Whalen, who was tremendous. He's a very talented individual. This woman, Chris Berry, who's really popular in Amsterdam, came and sang a song on it. I think, and then I had these two producers. I'm going to say their names. You're going to be like, they're not real names. But one guy's named Shane McDicey, whose real name is John Christensen, and then David Ott, who work and have an amazing... They actually just bought Bruno Mars's old studio in Hollywood, so we actually recorded some of the stuff there, which was kind of cool. So, but yeah, I mean, I'm hoping next time to kind of call in favors from friends, so, and have them be on this, because I think it's fun for musicians, too. I know Justin Vernon from Bon Iver had heard about the Whale song, because it's basically a parody of him, and so they sent it to his publicist, and one of the producers met him at a Levi event, and he was like, this thing's like the best thing. He's like, I love it so much.
Cool.
Because my idea would be to be on a late night talk show, do the song, and have him dressed up as a whale playing guitar. And at the end, he takes it off, and people would be like, I was like, that would blow people away.
Yeah, that would be really great.
Right. So, but you know, can you make that happen, Sarah?
I can't.
No, well.
I cannot. I do not have the connections, but it seems like you're getting them.
Yeah. Well, we'll see soon, hopefully. So, but yeah, I mean, I've just been lucky enough to do this stuff and learn from it. So it's a cool process. Someday, baby, see what maybe will set you free. You'll be swimming out into the sea. Aquaman tried to lend a hand, it was meant to be. You know,
You joked that the vinyl pressing place pushed aside Radiohead's album to bump yours up.
Yeah.
But that is Radiohead specifically, someone you would maybe name drop.
Yes.
And I'm going to ask you to, because Tom York really likes your stuff.
He does like my stuff a lot.
How did you meet Tom York?
In 2011, they were playing at the Roseland Ballroom, and I went to get tickets, and it was like $1,500 to get a ticket. So I was like, so one of my mutual friends who's a huge fan was like, I don't think I want to pay that much for a ticket. I happened to walk to a bar, sat down and met these three guys, and we were talking, and I said, would you pay $1,500 for a concert ticket, alive or dead, anybody that you wanted to ever see? And they're like, no, never. And he was like, who would you want to see? And I said, Radiohead. So we talked for another half hour. They walked out. They put two tickets down and two backstage passes. He was the tour director. The other guy was the merch director. And I was like, wow, okay. So I went and we became friends really quickly. And then I literally got to go tour with them for 2.5 years.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty tremendous.
It must have been just bananas.
It's really cool because they're all really different, but all super special individuals. Tom's really kind of awkward, but he's a wonderful man. He's a good parent. Like, he's just a good guy. Like, you just listen to him. I mean, I took my 10-year-old to the Boston Garden to see them, or TD Bank North, and he came up at the after party and looked at Jack, my son, and said, you look like you're thirsty. And he went and got him a Coca-Cola.
Oh, that's nice.
I know, but you know what I mean?
He did not have to do that.
No, exactly. But not just that. Like, it's like my 10-year-old who doesn't click now, but Tom York, who's probably one of the most prolific songwriters, performers in the last 30 years, just went and got you a soda backstage at his own concert. Like, you know, but I'm lucky. And from that, I got to meet other people via that whole group. And it's just been a blessing, a cool experience, but such great people. And I learned how to do a majority of my show from watching them utilize different sound pedals and just combinations with synthesizer and arpeggiators and all these kind of like processes. And I was like, I can apply that to my own thing. It's going to be something so super different that no one's doing that it's hopefully will be special. And he thinks so.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It has been very cool to talk with you about this. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me, Sarah. I appreciate it.
McQueen's album, Black Cat, is available from A Special Thing Records. A link to his website is posted with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.